one. It could have been worse. We could have lost the game in stoppage time with Federico Chiesa, an unbelievable tracking back to clear off the line. In the end, we get a point after Chelmsdene Talbi opened the score after a poor clearance by Van Dijk. Sunderland got it to Talbi from 22 yards out. His shot deflected off Van Dijk, past Alisson and in. Slot made changes. Ekitike and Jones came on. They both made a difference. Great play by Curtis Jones, linking there in the box with Florian Wirtz. Twinkle toes feet by the German. His shot deflected off Mukiele for an own goal. Liverpool then tried. We had so many corners. We had so much possession in that second half. But at this moment in time, the frustration is with so many world-class forwards out there, we're just not firing. It could have been worse, though. We could have lost this game. We'll take a point. Liverpool 1, Sunderland 1.
Steve Hunter there, summing up a frustrating evening at Anfield in the Premier League as Liverpool were held to a 1-1 draw by Sunderland. This is The Reaction. I'm Mark Benstead, and coming up, we'll hear from Reds boss Arne Slot and midfielder Florian Wirtz shortly. But we'll begin with the thoughts of former Reds Phil Thompson and Ray Houghton. It's another point on the board. It's not a defeat. But, Tomo, it's a night of frustration overall.
Yeah, I think we've had a few of them, haven't we, this season? And suppose the way I look at it, Steve said it there, we didn't get beat. Because at one point it looked as though that was going to happen. And the very, very small positives out of it, that was it. Because it wasn't a good performance, I don't think by any stretch of the imagination, we had so much of the ball. But it's what you've got to do with it and how you deal with it. It wasn't quick enough. We didn't move it. We did not open them up. They were well organised. We knew that. But we just didn't move that ball quick enough at any given time and got any real sort of threatening attacks. Final ball at times was very, very poor. It was goalkeeping practice at times.
How, you know, those of us, you know, guys like myself, people listening to this, watching this, explain to us why sometimes, as a professional player, you don't move it with the same speed. We've seen these same players last season play with tempo, play with energy, and that real zip. And at times tonight, in some of the other games recently, we've not quite had that. How is it not there? What makes it not there, Ray?
For me, it's confidence. You know, it's confidence in your ability. It's about moving the ball as quickly as possible. You know, it's not you that wants timing in the ball, it's the next person. Because if someone closes you down and you've already moved the ball on, they can't get near you. Once you take the touch and you're slowing things down, and then I thought we were a bit predictable tonight. I think that'd be the word I would use during the course of particularly the first half. You could have closed your eyes and you could have known where you were going to go with the next pass and the next pass and the next pass. No one's taking anyone on. We're controlling it and passing it from a standing position. No one was running with it, trying to bring one of the opposition and play a little 1-2s to get around them. So they just sat back in positions. I mean, the best opportunities they had at times was when we gave the ball away. You know, that was where the goal came from. We gave the ball away because we're trying to play out from the back. We don't go and close down. It takes a massive deflection, and then you're now chasing the game. Now we get back to 1-1, and I think the mindset of the players was, we can go and win this. And then we throw everyone forward, and then we get undone with the goalkeeper picking up, and kick straight down the middle. We have not got one player back there. Luckily, Chiesa is tracked from quite a distance to help out his keeper, because when he's gone round him, he's blocked it as it was going into the goal. So we could have gave away, you know, the ended up with defeat. When we've got a draw there for the taking, yeah, we want to go and try and win it, but you've got to also switch on when it comes to the defensive situation. So there's a lot of things tonight that have to improve. You know, going forward, you know, we're going to be playing against Leeds at the weekend. We know they've got a decent win tonight. So they're not going to come and take the... Oh, they're not. When we go there, they're going to sit back like Sunderland did tonight. We knew what Sunderland were going to do. You know, they had a game plan. They worked. They trained for the game tonight. And everything they tried to do worked in their favour. They frustrated Liverpool. Liverpool just didn't get going. You know, with their little 1-2s, they weren't coming off. And you could see the confidence and players were just like, oh, no, it's not our night, it's not our night. And that's when you have to get one or two of your big players really standing up and taking the game to them.
We spoke pre-match, Tomo, about the need to be defensively better, to be tighter, be more resilient. will there be a frustration from Arne and his staff at the manner of the Sunderland goal? It was dealt with initially, then it's that poor pass that gives it to Shemsdine Talbee, and he's able to take that shot.
And it is. It's quite easy to sit back here. Listen, we give the ball away at times, but that Verge looked like he panicked. But yeah, you do that, you understand that. But when he got the ball, we never got that luxury. We never got that luxury hardly once. Dominic got it. They were going straight. I think Tom had one shot in the first half, which was a decent one. And they closed us down. We didn't. We've let the guy have the opportunity to pick his spot. He doesn't just get that. Veg turns away from it, comes off his backside, and does alley into the far corner. It's not good enough all round, you know, from giving the ball away. But then the reaction from it, and that's all you've got to do. That's all you ask. And I don't think Veg sort of did that. If he'd have closed down very, very quickly, what does he do? He just passes it square and he moves away, and then you've done your job.
Do we need a little bit more of the aggression that Curtis Jones showed in winning the ball for the build-up to the goal that the Virtual scored or assisted, depending if it becomes an own goal?
Don't forget, Curtis comes on. Curtis is fresh. They've absolutely running out of steam. They're just running on the mindset. And that's where he nips in, which is great, and it is. And you expect that from your substitutes who are fresh. And he brought a better impetus for the goal. But we need more of that all round. You know, you've got to be on it. They did, and they looked like they were all second balls and everything in the right to win those balls. And we weren't doing that too much. Number of times we tried to pass it wide, and they're already on the way and nipping in. And that's what Curtis did for our goal.
I think I said the same question to the guys after the PSV game. Is there a point when you're a team or a player having a difficult spell and you sort of strip it right down and say, you know what, next game, I am just going to run more than the man opposite me. Everything else can take care of itself, but I'm just going to run harder and try as hard as I can, and then everything else will come from that. And maybe that's something that...
I don't think it's just purely running that's the problem. I don't think it's lack of...
Or aggression.
But what we're just lacking is moving the ball a bit quicker and passing to players who are free. There was a lot of times in the first half, Phil and I were watching it, where big Canati was free on the right-hand side and they seemed reluctant to play to him. So they would turn out, they would look over there and go, no, I'm not going to go. And then they come back in with the numbers where instead of trying to open up the game and then, you know, make it down the right-hand side, some of the play, rather than just down the left, and make it more expansive. We didn't do that. I thought we played into their hands. It took us a while to work out that Xhaka was a player they were trying to play into. Then he was getting turned on, and then he was starting to move through them. Once we, you know, seen that as a problem, Virts went and sat on him, then it wasn't a problem for him. So there's things that we've got to think about more in the game to take away the advantage from the opposition.
I think there's a bit to what I'm thinking about as you're talking. What you're saying about run more. Why do we seem to do it against the bigger teams? Our mileage, what we would put in, goes up another 10 or 15%. And to me, it's just, I can't remember too many times when they had the ball that we had a good press, a right time of press to win that. More legs than them. I'm making them kick it long every time. It was like, we see it, now I'll go. It's not that intensity. In the press, I don't think the press has worked well all season, and that's certainly what it was like. We let them get comfortable in the first half by not moving it quick enough.
We had that spell, didn't we, in the first half where they cottoned on to pressurising Granit Xhaka, and that put a bit of doubt in their minds, made them kick out into touch a couple of times and lose possession. So there were moments in the game where that. We also saw it first half against PSV. There was a spell where there was that aggression, that tempo, that press, but it's not been there consistently in games.
But when you win it, it's what you do with the ball next. You know, how creative are you going to be? What opportunities can you make from the press that you've won? And we just didn't do enough with the ball. The final ball into the box wasn't of a good enough quality. I don't remember our centre-forward, Isak, actually getting a ball that came in there that favoured him. It was always a fight ball, or it was too high, or you were hitting the first man. And that quality is required. You know, if you're going to get opportunities, you've got to be firing the ball in. I don't think he's going to win too many headers, but he's going to get across people with his genuine pace. And I just thought we didn't deliver the ball in at the right time.
You used the word predictable there about some of the build-up play, approach play, some of the choices in the final third. Is there a point? We saw the manager make some changes for the game of the weekend, and to a point tonight as well, where he does something more radical, you know, to throw the opposition off. Because we've seen, we spoke about it pre-match, the fact that Sunderland changed their formation, the setup for different games. I think our opponents at the weekend lead switched their defence to a back five tonight. So is there an argument we do something like that? Just to throw off the opposition at points, to make ourselves a little bit more difficult to prepare for as well.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. Sort of Rio to come in and maybe play as a wider. I'd give the young man a go. At one point when we had Florian out there and Robbo, we had no pace. And because they had the five at the back and they were comfortable, all avenues were blocked off. And we had nobody who could do a trick. Now, when Cody was on the face, he kept coming inside every single time. Not once did he go outside and then tackle and goes out for the throw and goes out for a corner kick. You've got to give them more problems than what we were giving them. So I know what you mean, but it's extremely hard to do that. To sort of really be radical and throw it all open and start players. We've got to be better at what we do. We allowed them to absolutely run the game in the way of stopping the game. I haven't seen a team like that. I'm not trying to criticise, but I haven't seen a team go down as much as what I witnessed here today. It was very clever of them. The referee got sucked in all the time. There was hardly a touch because we were able to see the replays. And I just think we've got to be cuter. We've got to be better. We've got to be better on the second balls. We lose so many. It is not, it's not giving us any momentum.
I just on the team selection at the moment, I'd be loath at the minute to keep making changes, just looking for a formula that's going to win. I think you've got to look at who's my best right back at the minute, who's my best two centre half, who's my best left back. Start playing them more regular than not, so they all get a better understanding. Your big players have come in like Isaac. If you bring them in, take them off, bring them in, he's going to get no continuity on the pitch. Same with Florian Wirtz. So if you're going to play Florian, play him in his 10 row. You know, playing on the left, as Phil just said, probably you're not going to get the best out of him. When he's in the 10 row, how can we get him on the ball? How can our midfielders get him in a position where he can get turned to start making little passes? Because he just looked out of sorts tonight. After having his best game on Sunday, I'm expecting him to be like that. But he couldn't find space out there. The way that Sunderland played in the areas, because you know, there was times Ballard was coming in and marking him in the first half as well. So you could sense that he was looking around. He's always looking for someone to come in and be close to him where he wasn't getting the space. And he just didn't get involved in the game enough. He's got to find a way. And the only way he's going to do that is by playing. Keep playing him. If you leave him out, bring him in, leave him out, it's not going to help him, I don't think, personally. Phil will tell you, as players, you want to be playing consistently week in, week out. So you're learning the game, you're learning the players that you're playing with, the positions that you can take up and how you can influence the match as well.
Well, we'll flip it round then. If you're a player, do you prefer the other approach where the manager comes in and says, right, you four, you're my back four, these next three games. Barring injury, you're all starting, so you know where you're at and you've got that belief in the manager that if you make a mistake, you're still going to play, or you've got that room to be brave on the ball. Or do you not be as definitive as that if you're a coach or a manager?
Yeah, it's hard because you just don't know what's injury-wise and things like that. But I get what you mean. Giving players that confidence and that trust for them to go out and do it. And we're changing the left-back with more or less every game. We're changing the left-back, so nobody knows who's coming. We know what Robbo can do. Milos, it's unsure. He's sort of had some decent games. But even in the right back spots, you know, Connor was difficult at the start. Jeremy was playing. But I would go for a bit of consistency. And I know coming the weekend, there'll be calls for Curtis to play right back and I would be there. But going to Leeds, Curtis is going to be, sorry, Joe is going to be your man for that. Because it is, we had Joe playing as the right-sided player there. He was an outlet. But where was it going to go? Joe wasn't going to beat somebody. Joe wasn't going to play a final ball. So we need to sort that out. And I think that's why they changed it up and they brought Mo on.
On Sunderland's approach tonight, I did have visions watching that game of Tony Pulis watching that in his front room, just applauding at some of the time wasted and the tactics they were employed. Because to be fair to Sunderland, they did have a game plan and they executed it consistently and very, very effectively, both in terms of the press, the positioning, but also in that slowing it down and not allowing Liverpool to build momentum.
Yeah, the momentum's the word. When Liverpool got back to 1-1, you thought the momentum was with Liverpool and they would maybe go on and win the game. They had a couple of half chances, some good blocks from the Sunderland back line who put their body in the way when the strikes were coming in. But that's how they're going to get results. You said about them, they're a team that are high energy. You know, they'll get numbers behind the ball and they'll try to hit you on the counter-attack. You make a few mistakes, they'll capitalise on it. And that's how they got their goal, how they got their, you know, the chance that we said was cleared off the line by Chiesa. The plan was just to do exactly that, frustrate, numbers back. There was times late on in the game, we were just saying, they were virtually 5 yards outside their penalty area, all 10 outfield players. That was their job, protect the scoreline as it was. See, they deserve credit for it. That's what's going to keep them up this season.
It's becoming like the modern game. I've no doubt the Leeds-Chelsea game was exactly the same. But Chelsea had all the ball, all the attacking, and then they're defending deep, and then you hit on the counter. It seems to be the modern Premier League way. And everybody's going, it's a good plan. And the more, I think, did you say Leeds went five at the back or something? That'll be exactly what they'll do at the weekend against us.
As a player, how do you avoid that frustration? Because we saw a couple of players, Isak had it a couple of times where the keeper's gone down, clutching his head, checking for blood after no one's been near him. How do you stop it throwing it off your game? Because it does get, it's naturally human nature, you get frustrated.
It's so frustrating. You see so many of our players, right? And as I said, we had the luxury of seeing replays. And you're going, oh my goodness, he's not touched him. And he's rolling about, holding his leg, gets up, hobbles for 2 yards and then runs. And I know it happens a lot, but I've not seen as much as what. So gamesmanship, that was evident in that game. I was thinking, wow. And it did knock us off our stride. It got us frustrated and angry. And at times, you're going to put a challenge in, you're thinking, he's going to be rolling around.
It's hard for the officials, though, because you can only go on. You think someone's got a head injury, you've got to blow up. You know, that's exactly what you've got to do.
Granted, but some of it, you have, and everybody's listening VAR, and it can be going, they're having you off here. Surely they're having you off. We've seen that again quickly. Get him up and get on with the game.
Well, we've seen the debate from Daniel Farke complaining about Donnarumma going down in Leeds game at Man City last week, where basically allowed Pep to get his flip chart out, talk through the tact of the guys, and from there City were able to sort of control the game again. There is talk that maybe it will be something that will be looked at. As former players, would you welcome that sort of intervention from the sidelines to clamp down on it, or is it always going to be an element of it?
Do you know what? I mentioned Manchester City when it was happening, when we were watching it, because they were the best at it to stop it. Fernandinho, little fouls, roll about, get it, stop the game, take this thing out of the match. And listen, this was Sunderland who, and they let them get away with it. They let it happen right in front of our eyes. And I think they will have a look at it. It's hard, for goodness sake. I'm not saying, oh, well, there you go. It's quite an easy answer. Listen to the VAR. Get up, get on with the game. It can't, especially when they start rolling about, holding their head. Half of those things happened there today. They held their head. And that to me, was being clever.
You played as part of a great attacking, free-flowing Liverpool side. You must have had times when the opposition tried to spoil the game, slow the game, slow you down. How did you deal with it? And don't just say play better than them.
Well, no, you just got to get on with the game as best you can. You know, that is part and parcel of the way football has gone. People do go down. Are they injured or not? I can't tell you. You know, and referees can't tell you. They're not doctors. That's not their job. They see that someone's got. They think someone's got a bang in the head. They have protocols. They have to blow up for it. You know, and that's just what happens in the game. But they're very cute the way players are today. I mean, some of the injuries when they go over, there's nothing wrong. You can tell there's nothing wrong. Well, you know his ex-players when you've been hurt or not. And a lot of the time, you know, they've not even been touched. But that's the way the game's gone. You know, everyone can do it to slow the game down whenever they want. It's part and parcel of what football's become over the last few years. And you've just got to deal with it as best you can.
We're making ourselves out to be very petty here, because they were very good. Besides all that, they were very good at what they did today. And they were strong, they were determined, they wanted every challenge. All those second balls that I was going on about was because they wanted it more than we did at certain times during the game. They've done very well for what they did today.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. You know, that was an element of what Sunderland did today, but it was more than that today. Absolutely. They set up well, executed their plan and worked tremendously and had a smattering of quality in that side as well. They're not just a team that are physical workout. There's some good players in
there. We said about it before the game, Mark, that they're there on merit. You know, this is a team that's came up from Township last season. They've adapted so well to the Premier League. They've came to Anfield tonight and, you know, they've put on a good performance, defensive shape, working very hard. Everyone worked hard for each other. We're only talking about how they slowed the game down, nothing more than that. But, you know, they could have eventually went on to win the game. They had the best chance. And then we went through 1v1, Isidore went through, and, you know, we said about Chiesa doing what he did, getting back to clear it off the line. So they'll be in the changing room, absolutely buoyed by what's happened in the match tonight. Probably thought they might have got all 3 points, and you might have made a case for that. But Liverpool will be the ones now thinking, you know what, having done what we did on Sunday, we've not backed up as well as we could have done tonight. And then you've got to think of the reasons why. Never mind what the opposition did, what didn't we do as a team to influence ourselves on them? You know, and it's got to come down to the players got to think for themselves. Did I pass the ball quickly enough? Was my quality of the ball into the box good enough? Was I making the right runs? And once you come to an understanding of what went on, that's when you see improvement.
The Liverpool FC Black Friday sale is on now.
Save 20% on everything, including the 25-26 season Adidas kit and training, Adidas collections, exclusive LFC label fashion and more. Plus, all Red members save an additional 10%. Don't miss out. The Liverpool FC Black Friday sale, it's on now and it's only available online at liverpoolfc.com/store and on the official LFC store app. Ends 8 a.m. 4th of December.
One more, it finished here at Anfield this evening. The Liverpool goal forced by the efforts of Florian Wirtz. Let's hear from him now. He's inside speaking to Peter McDowell.
Flo, give us your emotion at the end of that one. Not winning at Anfield is always disappointing, but how does it feel at the end of the game?
Yeah, I'm disappointed that we didn't win. Of course, when you go 1-0 down, it's always better to get 1 point than zero. But yeah, of course we wanted to win. The fans were there for us. So yeah, a bit disappointed, but also a bit proud that we came back like this after a setback. And yeah, at the moment it's not easy for us because not everything is going in our way. So we have to be patient and keep the hard work up.
We were probably on top at the end of the first half. You know, they hit the woodwork a few times. We did as well. But coming in at half time, was the message just more of the same? Be patient, it will come.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have so many chances in the first half, I think, we knew that we will get a few ones. We just have to be patient and to keep the pressure high, or even more than in the first half. And that was what we tried, and then the 1-0 was a bit unlucky. I think we could have won the duel before, and then also the deflection was a bit unlucky, but in the end we get 1 point and it's better than nothing.
They are one of those teams though, aren't they? They get their noses in front, they're difficult to play against, really enjoy defending, and we couldn't really get any momentum going because of the stoppages in the game as well.
Yeah, of course. They wanted to keep play a bit with the time. It's not easy then to keep the pressure high, but we did a good job after the 1-0. We have to keep going like this in the next games.
Disappointed not to get the goal credited to you. It felt like your first goal in front of the Kop though.
Yeah, I was a bit I didn't know it was my goal until I came here, but have to get the next one in the next game then.
Individually though, you must feel like you're in a really good moment. Such a big performance at the weekend, a goal tonight as well. You must feel like this is the breakthrough now.
Yeah, I'm just happy that the things go a little bit more in my direction. Try always to work hard on the pitch against the ball as well, but yeah, sometimes you need also a little bit of the luck that you get the goal or assist. But yeah, in the end, it just matters that we win. Today we couldn't, but yeah, in the next one, try again.
Just finally, that is the message. You are fighting. You're fighting your way up the hill. It's a tough moment we're in at the moment, but there's enough in that dressing room to change this.
Yeah, we have unbelievable quality in the changing room, personalities and great players, and we just have still to find each other a bit more and to create a bit better momentum for us. And yeah, then I think everything will go in our direction soon. But yeah, we just have to work hard, stay together as a team and as a club, and yeah, then hopefully we'll be more successful.
Yeah, and to keep working hard as a team, as a club, that is the message from Florian Wirtz, and you can certainly agree with those sentiments. Bit by bit, having more of a role, we're seeing glimpses of the quality he's got tonight. Again, the point you made a little bit earlier, right? Maybe it is a case of keep him in that number 10 role. Let him be the, get used to it, be part of the team, and get the team used to playing through him, as we saw at the weekend at West Ham.
Yeah, when you bring in someone like Florian Wirtz, you've obviously watched him, and you know the qualities that he's got and what he brings to a football club. And it's been a bit stop-start for him over the course of the season so far. I just think when you've come for that amount of money, you need to be in the team on a regular basis. And the more you play, the better you'll become, I think. And I think you'll understand what the Premier League's about, the physicality of it, the positions that you've got to take up, the areas that he's going to influence the game. And I just see him being a big player because of the quality that he's got, and the more he's in the team, the more he'll show up.
I think physically he's been a lot better.
Last couple
because
of years.
For those that first sort of month, 6 weeks, I've seen a player who physically just, because some of the, now when you see him, he glides past people, he's still on his feet, making up. Whereas the start of the season, he was getting those little knocks and he was just falling over, losing the ball on a regular basis. And you can see him doing that. But getting moved round is a problem for them. Steve, they were putting them out on the left, and you're thinking, my goodness, you know, he's not got the pace to go past anybody. He's very, very clever. And to move him out, it's like Dominic, playing him at right back. Yes, I'll do a job for you. But then after a few games, I don't really want to be playing here. And then you lose that confidence with it. So Florian, I would put him, at, as Ray just said, in his best position, and you get the best out of him. Even if he's got to drop a little bit more to get it, because he's got the vision to play players in.
Yeah, I think there's a suggestion he's already sort of beefed up a little bit since he's come in.
No, without a doubt.
Been working with the weights to try and add some sort of adding something to his frame a little bit to get him more accustomed to Premier League football. From 75 minutes onwards, Liverpool had 83% of the ball
not
tonight.
Surprised.
There is becoming a theme again where we are dominating the ball in games but not affecting the games enough in those periods of them. How do we sharpen? Is it again the point we made earlier in the programme? It's just about the pace of play.
A couple of things in the last 15 minutes of the game. The quality of the ball into the box wasn't good enough, and they were taking shots on when maybe that wasn't the right option. And once again, we have to credit the opposition. They've came out and got a few blocks in. You know, when strikes were coming in, you could see they were coming out, making themselves nice and big. Very, very physical. We knew they were going to be like that. We talked about Sunderland before the game, the physicality that they've got with Big Ballard there. You know, that's how they play. You know, they get numbers in around that 18-yard box and they come out and they put themselves in the way of the strikes that were coming in. But just the quality, just a little bit more quality, and that'll just give the strikers and the attacking players a few more opportunities.
A point here for Liverpool tonight then against Sunderland, but it's been a busy midweek card in the Premier League, so we should update you on what has happened over the course of the last two evenings and underline what has happened in the Premier League standings as well. The games got underway yesterday and there were some goals, it's fair to say, in those matches. Everton 1-0 winners against Bournemouth. Jack Grealish with the goal in that one. What a game down at Craven Cottage. Fulham looked dead and buried but rallied late on and almost made the comeback of all comebacks. But ultimately, City got themselves over the line, winning that one by 5-4. A pretty eventful game up at St James's Park as well. Romero with a couple of goals for Spurs as they picked up a point away at Newcastle. Tonight, Arsenal rested a few players, left a few key men on the bench, but still managed to beat Brentford by 2-0. Brighton and Aston Villa played at a seven-goal thriller. Villa, 4-3 winners in the end as their remarkable run of form continues. In fact, the defeat here, perhaps the only blip along the way, pretty much domestically in the last couple of months. Crystal Palace, Munoz's goal sees them win at Burnley as Burnley's form continues to suffer of late. Wolves still only have 2 points on the board after they were beaten 1-0 by Nottingham Forest. And our weekend opponent Leeds, as Ray alluded to earlier, were 3-1 winners against Chelsea. There's one more game to come of this card of fixtures. It takes place tomorrow as Manchester United host West Ham United. League table looks like this. Arsenal still the team out in front. They sit, 5 points ahead of Manchester City now. Villa, who are on that charge, are up in third. Chelsea sit in the final confirmed Champions League spot. Liverpool, well, they are still down the standings in eighth on 22 points. Although, given the fact we've hardly won a game of late, we are only a couple of points behind Chelsea, who sit, as I say, in fourth. At the bottom, it is looking very, very bleak for Wolves still to get their first win of the season, and it is now December. Burnley have slipped down the standings. They found themselves in the relegation zone, as do our last opponents, West Ham. Leeds, who we play this weekend, but they got that big win tonight, and that has kept them just clear for the moment.
I'm Virgil van Dijk.
I'm Federico Chiesa.
I'm Andy Robertson.
Have a boss Christmas with Liverpool FC Retail.
Shop hundreds of exclusive Liverpool FC gifts for the Reds in your life.
Buy them today
at your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store, and on the official LFC store app.
Merry Christmas from LFC Retail.
You never walk alone.
Leeds just 2 clean sheets so far this season, so that is something to encourage us going to Elland Road this weekend, Tom. But that is a huge win for them tonight. A huge win that they needed, and the manager needed, because they had on that difficult run. They've been struggling to win, like, albeit they were better second half at City at the weekend just gone.
Yeah, they were. Like, I was listening to the City game, and they were getting absolutely battered. Showed no sort of appetite for a fight and to do. But they come out the second half and it was like a different game. They wanted it a little bit more. All these teams, that's all you ask of them. Certainly the ones that come up, you know, you want passion, you want your commitment, you want desire. And to not give them in games and just to sit back. The way the teams come here like that now, but they all want to have a go. They all have belief. Now to sit back and hit on the counter. I've not seen that game, as I said before, but you can bet that they've just gone, right, let Chelsea have the ball, we'll defend and we'll hit on the counter. That's what these teams have got of life. And I just think we've got to go, we've got to be better, we've got to have more commitment. We do that sort of stuff, and with our better quality, we should be coming through better in these games.
When you're a promoted side, you need someone who's going to score goals for you in the Premier League. They brought Dominic Calvert-Lewin in. Bit by bit, he's starting to get some form, find his feet again. He scored again tonight. Now that's 3 for the season in the Premier League. He's the kind of player that could be a handful if he's allowed to become the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And from set plays, you know, that's one of the problems that we've had this season. You know, conceded too many goals from, you know, free kicks and corners, and we have to become much better at it. And he is someone who attacks the ball really well inside the 18-yard box, so we have to be on our guard against that. It won't be easy, you know. We've all played at Elland Road. We know how difficult it can be. The fans will certainly be behind the side. They'll be pushing them on to try and get the victory. And for Liverpool now, it's got a win, got a draw. Let's try and get another
one. Right?
Yeah, that's the first draw of the season. We're sort of being a little bit
tongue-in-cheek there, but When you've had the run of results we've had, it's not necessarily about... You look at tonight in isolation, we've drawn at home against one of the promoted sides, but a team that had been playing well, that was above us in the table, we've not been doing that well. We were behind. We could have, if things had gone.
The last two games, he prior to today, he's conceded seven goals.
Well, there you go.
You know, so you're, yeah, you're, let's look at
so
the positives.
So, in many ways.
Yeah, let's look at the positives, of course. And you could see him just listen to Florian speak there as well. The players have got the right attitude. You know, it's just game by game. They're trying to build on what they've done previously. They want to improve as individuals. They want to improve as a team. And they know it's just going to come down to hard work. When you're going through a tough time, that's what gets you out of it. It's just pure, hard graft,
the way things are at the moment, Ray, I think you said it. If we'd have got a draw at West Ham, we'd probably have been quite delighted. Yeah. They were on a decent run. And then if we'd have won tonight, everything had looked rosy. You know, we were sort of moving on up. And I think that is it. This team, it's going to take small sort of steps to sort of get back to that total consistency that we had. And it's these games, everybody's going, oh, the winnable games. Watch the Premier League. It's unforgiving. You have to be at it all the time.
Well, that league table just underlines the point. We've had a rotten run and are still within touching distance
of
the top teams. Not a million miles away from Arsenal, despite everyone's been heralding them as kind of invincible, unstoppable kind of freight train. Yeah. The league this season, the quality of the teams is better, I think, overall, in terms of the promoted sides. And we're seeing unpredictable results. It's very hard, you know, not a big gambler, but if you tried to put a coupon on at the weekend, it's very hard to predict.
But it's even like you just read out the results, you know, Fulham 4, Man City 5, Brighton 3, Aston Villa 4. I mean, Aston Villa, a lot of people were saying, what's gone wrong with Villa at the start of the season? And now you look where they are in the Premier League at the moment. Look where Crystal Palace lost to Man United. They win tonight, and I think they're up to fifth. I think I've seen those, fifth or sixth in the league. It just shows you if you can get a run of results and start pushing yourself up the table, confidence comes back, belief comes back, the fans are with you, and then you start looking at the league table and you're in a much healthier position.
And we go back to Saturday. If we said, right, through the course of these three games coming up, we take 7 points from nine, I think we'd all, everyone pretty much in the stadium, said, I'll take that just now, given the way things
the moment,
are. Yeah, so if we win at Leeds at the weekend, then all of a sudden the perspective is far rosier than it was last week following the games against Forest and PSV Eindhoven.
And I just think we have to be a bit more savvy about the weekend. We know it's going to be tough, and the games are getting that way now. There's no sort of gimmies anymore, as they were last year. Yeah, we worked hard for all our results, but this time they're not coming as easy. So we've got to stick together. And it is, you know, we could say we had great teams, but there wasn't. We went through difficult times. Mm-hmm. And you stick together and you will come out because of your quality.
Yeah, that's the hope. Okay, well, that's what the guys have made of this evening's game against Sunderland. What has the manager made of it? Let's find out. Can you hear from Arne Slot now?
Well, boss, what's your overriding emotion at the end of that game?
Not happy, of course, because you expect more if you play a home game against Sunderland. Although they've shown this season how difficult it is to play against them or to get a result against them. Only four times this season they've conceded more than one goal. So then you know that the biggest chance then you have to win is keep a clean sheet. And I think we did a lot to keep a clean sheet. I think they only had one big chance from a set piece that hit the post. For the rest, we hardly gave away anything in terms of chances, big chances. And then a deflection of a shot of 20 yards, we went 1-0 down. And I liked our reaction because it's not easy to go again 1-0 down after again not conceding a lot. And we scored the 1-1 and I think afterwards we tried really hard. We got enough set pieces maybe to influence the game that way. But from one of those set pieces, they were in the counter-attack very close to scoring the 2-1. So the positive to take is that games like this, we've played quite a lot. Us having more chances than the other team, and we've mainly lost. Now we had a draw, but that's not a happy feeling.
What were your thoughts at the break? It's not often we see you make a change at the half-time interval. Was that something that was planned, or is it something you felt you needed to change by bringing Mo on there?
Needed to change. The plan was always that, not, of course, you make changes, but two games in 3 days, three in seven. So you know players need sometimes, you need to change them as well. And so I always knew I had to make changes today. But I think Cody struggled to dominate 1v1 situations. And so I thought, okay, we're going to play with a right winger and more of an ex and midfielder on the left with Florian, who is also a player who can create in 1v1 situations. So that's why I made that decision.
You mentioned the goal, the fight back. You know, we predict then as fans watching it, don't we, that it will be same old Liverpool. We'll get our noses in front. And that is the positive, I suppose, that we've seen such great development from Florian Wirtz in recent weeks to get his goal. I know it wasn't credited to him, but that will be one of the positives you take away from tonight.
Yeah, definitely. I think if there would have been a player that was involved in a goal for us, I think many of us thought it would be Florian today because he was lively, he was getting the ball lots, teammates looked a lot for him. He was creative, although it wasn't easy against a team that either pressed us really high or went to a very, very low block, which is never easy, especially with the fighters they have, their centre-backs, Balades, I think his name. I'm sure it's his name. He threw himself in every ball, headed away so many balls. And on the other hand, he's such a big threat in every long throw-in, in every long ball that the keeper played into our box. So yeah, good moment for Flo, that he I thought he had his goal, but that he was involved in a goal. That is also not an assist, I assume, if it's another goal. Yeah. No, I assume
it
is.
You don't know these days, do you? No. Just finally, boss, the grit that you show, it's important not to lose a game when you can't win it. I know Chiesa has that intervention right at the end, but there is grit and determination in there where you go away with a point. Like you say, it's two less than you wanted, but still.
Yeah, of course, it's far from ideal if you take a corner kick yourself and you bring the ball in in the second phase. And then the goalkeeper saves the ball and you look up and there's one player completely open at the halfway line. But Feder showed, I think, where it's all about. Even if you think you cannot do anything anymore, just keep running. Because Ali showed him around. That was just the time Feder needed to clear the ball off the line. And that was, I think, important for us. Because if, again, after going 1-1, we would have lost this game after pushing so much yourself, which happened to United against United, which happened so many times this season. That would have been a big blow, an even bigger blow. So to take a point is not something to be happy about, but it is more, of course, than losing.
In the thoughts of Arne Slot there on tonight's game with Sunderland, worth just reiterating the importance of that Chiesa intervention and what it demonstrated, a substitute fighting to the death to ensure we took something from the game. But also I think it's worth picking up the other point that Arne made, just the frustration, the fact that opportunity arose from our corner.
Yep.
Because we were too gung-ho, we were too caught up in the moment. We have to have a bit of responsibility when we're attacking and trying to win games in the closing stage of the match. We've seen that a little bit too much of late.
This has to be organised at the back. Somebody has to do that. And even if Virgil's up there and trying to get, he's got to make sure somebody's back. Now, for Chiesa to do what he did was quite a... I don't know if you see the expression on his face when he sets off to try and help. He knows he's got to get back. And the effort, what he actually puts in, is commendable. And he gets there. And of course, we don't know what's going to happen, when he's going to go round, if he puts it the other side. But he did his job for the team. So I'm not saying that that's the be-all and end-all, but it shows an attitude. He could have gone, oh, that wasn't down to me, and left it to somebody else.
But it's an example to others as well, that example to other players of what's required.
Yeah, and as the boss has just said there, you know, throughout it, we didn't deserve to lose the game, and it would have been shameful. And I know everybody got Sunderland done this, done that. We had so much of the ball. Yes, we didn't do enough on it. But for us to have lost that, as we did with the Man United game, who we battered, by the way, and we should have won that game, but we end up losing it. Now, I know what result I would rather have, the 1-1, rather than the 2-1 defeat as United gave us.
Just going back to, you know, I know you're trying to push to get the win, and we've done that a few times last season and ended up getting over the line and winning games. There are occasions where you've got to say, you know what, 1-1's not the worst result that we're going to have. Yep. Make sure defensively we're nice and solid. And someone should have been detailed to sit back there when we've got all our big players forward. You know, the two centre-halves are inside the box. Goalkeeper gets it. Give credit to the goalkeeper. His vision and awareness to see his teammate downfield was absolutely brilliant.
Fair play to Isidor.
Yeah, absolutely fair brilliant. Play to him. All credit to Chiesa to get back. Because, you know, when he sees him running away, he might have thought, I'm not going to get there. You know, I'm just not going to get there. What's the point? But he just kept going and kept going, and he was just hoping he could do something to help his teammates out. He goes past Ali, and then it's on target, and he does that, just have enough to keep it out.
The two of them did what they should do. Yeah. Chiesa and Jones did exactly what you should do. Curtis made that intervention for our goal, and you've got Chiesa saving that one at the other end.
Great distribution from the goalkeeper, Robin Roos. He's actually got really good stats for long passing accuracy, and it was demonstrated there in spades because that was a great bit of vision, but brilliant execution as well, and it only took that brilliant bit of effort and endeavour from Chiesa to prevent it being a Sunderland goal. We touched on the fact that it's Leeds next up for Liverpool this weekend. Let's just underline what is happening across the division across the course of the next round of fixtures, just to see how the picture may change for the Reds over the course of Saturday, Sunday and Monday. The next round of games begins Saturday lunchtime. It's actually a pretty big game now. It is what, third against first, as Aston Villa host Arsenal in the early kickoff. Bournemouth play Chelsea. It's Everton, Nottingham Forest, Man City, Sunderland, Newcastle, Burnley, Spurs, Brentford. Then our game at 5:30 at Elland Road. Two games on Sunday. This is Brighton take on West Ham, and it's Fulham Crystal Palace. One game next week on the Monday night fixture. That is Wolves against Manchester United. Yeah, Leeds for us, as we touched on. A big win for them this evening, as we've mentioned. But prior to that, the results had not been going well. Daniel Farke was under increasing pressure at different times through the course of this season. In fact, before a ball was kicked, he's been under pressure. A lot of question marks about him. But that just underlines how important those 3 points could be this evening and how much it might lift them for our visit rate.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at that run of results that they've been on, there's a lot of losses there, isn't there? You know, just the three wins, one draw, and a lot of losses there. But we were talking about, is there one game recently that can change Liverpool's fortunes and start, you know, picking up as far as points are concerned and getting higher up the league? Well, Leeds might see that tonight. You know, that was a big win because a lot of people have been talking Chelsea up, you know, in recent times. They've got the draw against Arsenal. People are saying about Chelsea, you know, they might come with a late run in the second half of the season, get closer to Arsenal, to Manchester City. And Leeds have got out and got a really good victory tonight, which will buoy them up for the game against Liverpool on Saturday at 5:30.
The Chelsea game was going to be a big game for them, as will. And this is what you come into the Premier League for. This is what their fans will be up for. And Chelsea's one thing, but Liverpool's a different one. Because of our history, both clubs, this is going to be massive. Ray alluded to it before. It can rock Elland Road. It can rock and make it difficult. It's one of the really old sort of football league grounds when you go, wow, and it's a proper place and a tough place to go. A bit like over the road at Goodison Park. And they're going to make it very, very difficult. And they will sit back. They will watch that game, what happened tonight. That will give them confidence.
What do you make of the fact that Daniel Farke kind of continues to have these little spells where people question him and start? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's gone on before, hasn't it? When he came in at Norwich, you know, he had such a good run. And you thought, oh, well, he did. But as soon as then you sort of have a little bit of a tough time straight away, oh, we need something different. And you were quite right. Excuse me. People were talking about at the start of the season, oh, he's had a hard time before with other clubs and maybe Leeds should change him. They're putting doubt in his mind. They're putting doubt in the player's mind. In the hierarchy, just give him a little bit of a confidence. Give him the backing. He's proved that he's a good manager.
Well, that's it. It's amazing how people's perceptions can change depending on the division in front of them, because he had three promotions from the Championship, two with Norwich, one with Leeds. That's no small feat in how competitive that division is, especially in the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 years.
It's amazing when, you know, people see a manager come into the Premier League and straight away they doubt his qualities and whether he's capable of taking the club forward. But I would say the second half against Man City and the win tonight will prove some of the doubters wrong. I think the fans will certainly be behind him now going into the next phases of matches, you know, starting with Liverpool at the weekend and whatever they've got upcoming after that. And it's important you have the support. You need the fan base to be behind the team and the manager. He's going to make decisions, rightly or wrongly. He's going to, you know, play a certain 11. He's going to take players off, going to bring players on. And he has to have that confidence that the fans believe in what he's doing. And if they're always questioning him and there's always doubts, then that leads to Phil being in enough as a player and as a coach. You know, when you're in there in the changing room with players, things aren't going well, they'll all start talking and everything's not right and that's not right, he's not doing this, training's not going in the right way. And there's all these little doubts that come into the players'
Absolutely.
Minds.
Just finally, in terms of the weekend then, selection-wise, fitness allowing, what are you doing? Are you going with something consistent, something similar to tonight, Tomo?
I would do away from home. What we did at West Ham, I would think that that'd be the approach first and foremost. West Ham Leeds probably on a similar level, and that's where I would be looking. Joe again to start at right back.
I was going to say that was going to be my next question, because there is a chance that Conor Bradley might be available. Would you be tempted just to keep him in reserve and give Joe the start again, both to allow Conor more time, but also to be a little bit more cautious?
The only reason why Joe might play, we just heard the manager talk nearly about three games in a week and how players struggle a little bit with it. And it's just what his fitness is like. You know, he came off, he did look tired when he came off tonight. And I was surprised, because when you've not played for as long as he has, and you know, you're only coming on for bit parts and you might have a few minutes here or there as a substitute, then you're playing 90 minutes. And then a few days later, you're back on the pitch again. It does.
Yeah, but Ray, you know, on your Conor, mind. You think of Conor with his injury record, he would be more at risk than what Joe would after Joe playing sort of a game and a half, well, more than a game in 60 minutes. That's where the positive would be for Joe. And, okay, Conor might be on the bench, who's a bit more offensive, so you may have that option.
Thanks for joining us on The Reaction. We'll be back again on Saturday night with more analysis and interviews after Liverpool take on Leeds United at Elland Road. If you haven't already, then please give us a follow to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop. Bye for now.